And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
To do it. Good morning. This is Meg with Pep Talk.
And I am so glad you did it.
I had to do it.
Oh my goodness. Glad you do it.
If you just joined us, we were having a little fun with the morning show, talking about the games this weekend.
Exactly.
And we discovered that
we'll dedicate this fight song to Andrew.
This is to Andrew McKay.
Andrew.
Be loud and proud.
Andrew had a few
comments,
remarks. About
yes, for those Florida that don't State. Know, FSU was playing Alabama this weekend for the opening game, and our buddy here on the Garden Line, you have not missed, you don't have the wrong channel, it's not ESPN,
right, exactly.
But we are here with the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, an FSU grad, a proud Seminole, and I'm rooting for y'all, I have to say. I usually root for the SEC teams, but because of my history with Alabama, I just can't root for them. So I'm going to root for the Noles this weekend.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Yes.
Of course, it's going to be a challenging game. Alabama's always a challenge.
Of course.
But we are looking forward to a really good year.
Yeah.
We've got some good recruits. We've got some new coaches. And we're going to turn it around from last year. And the best way to turn it around would to beat the Tide.
No one would be happier, quite frankly, than moi.
It's going to be a good game. I do hope it's going to be a good game. We have got a lot of excitement in Tallahassee.
Oh, I'm sure.
I can tell you right
is
now.
It in Tallahassee? Is the game in Tallahassee?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
And just so you know, listeners, we will be broadcasting it here
live.
News Radio 92.3 on Saturday. A pre-show, I believe, starts around 12:30-ish, and then
right.
the game will be on 3:30 Eastern, I believe, 2:30 Central,
right.
I think. Is that right?
Right,
I think
exactly.
That's right. Yep.
Now,
okay.
In all sense of fairness, we have some great listeners. And if there's some Bama fans, you have equal time this morning.
Sure.
Give us a call.
Yeah, a minute or two.
A minute or two. Not many.
Kidding. I'm just kidding. It's all in fun. I'm a big Georgia Bulldog and have been for many years. So.
Go Dogs. And you've got Marshall.
Yeah, we have Marshall this weekend, but you know, they're a good team.
They're always good.
And I never,
exactly.
I don't see them. I mean, I hate that expression too. Whatever it is about those first games, cupcake game. I don't believe that with Marshall.
Marshall's
a good team.
Yeah,
and they have such a beautiful. Well, they have such a powerful history.
They do.
So I'm always kind of rooting for Marshall because they went through.
I totally agree. The movie,
yes,
is just amazing.
That was one of the best movies ever.
And
just heartbreaking.
Oh yeah.
Golly, what they went through. So
exactly.
But I kind of always root for them. I have a soft spot for them.
Exactly. Well,
except not so soft that I would want the Dogs to lose to them. So let's just clarify.
Are you going?
No, I'm not going to go. I'm trying to get to Alabama's coming to Georgia this year in Athens. I'm trying to get tickets to that game, and I was pricing them out, and they're running around $2,000.
So that's for
for a home game. I'm like, okie dokie. Okie dokie.
Maybe not.
We have to stick with the TV. But anyway.
Anyway.
We digress.
It's the Garden Line.
This is your chance to talk all things gardening for the next hour with our garden expert, Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. I know you've been waiting all week to send in your questions. We're kind of in a change of season now, right, Mike?
There's no question.
There's lots to do.
What's amazing, Meg, is that the difference that 6 or 7 degrees can make in the morning. I think it was 70 this morning.
It was beautiful.
So pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So pleasant. It really was. And so, yeah, we're headed into fall. But it's like all the seasons, insofar as gardening is concerned, the best way to get into a new season is gradually.
Mm-hmm.
Our plants like to adjust as we go into the new seasons, maybe it's spring to summer, summer to fall, whatever. And so hopefully that'll be the case, that we'll have a really pretty fall. Generally, October, for example, is very dry.
Mm-hmm.
September can be dry unless there's any kind of
tropical things
going
on.
So it's a beautiful time of year. And of course, an exciting time of year. Football season, everybody's fired up about that. So here we go.
I'm excited.
I am too.
I'm ready.
Well, here we go. And what we can do this morning is really kind of tag on to what we did the last couple of weeks, is to talk about things to look forward to for fall.
Right.
Or quite frankly, things we can do right now to get ready for fall.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to talk about, and maybe have a lot of questions out there. And we hope if there are, you'll give us a text.
850-437-1620. Text it on in. So what's on your list, sir, that we need to do to get ready?
Well, it's so funny here. This kind of ties up to summer. Our friend Larry Williams. Larry Williams is the horticultural agent in Okaloosa County. You know, we always have Daniel.
From Escambia.
No, Daniel. Daniel is from Calhoun County, remember?
Oh, that's
He's our favorite writer. But Larry puts out some great stuff. And he's saying here, at the end of summer, it's just too hot for lawn fertilizers. I said it wrong. Lawn herbicides.
Herbicides.
Weed killers.
Okay.
If you will. He says, it's just not the time. He says, you've got to follow some rules. You got to always allow 12 hours after any application before watering the yard. Apply only when there's no wind. We've talked about that, the danger of drift. And so you need to apply it in warm weather when rain is not predicted. So, and you just don't want to do it when temperatures are at 90 degrees.
Mm.
And that's where we are right now. So as we head into fall and you're starting to kind of look at your yard and see what's going on, you say, oh, my goodness, the weeds are about to take over. I'm going to get out and spray them. Don't do it quite yet. It's just not time. I think if you're going to spray for the weeds that are there with what we call a post-emergence herbicide, we probably want to wait, I'm going to say, late September, early October to do it. I think that would be the best time. So there are all kind of different sprays out there. He did leave one little note here that I had never read before. He says, a lot of these summer weeds that we have matured and are much harder to kill than when they're young. He also said, a single crabgrass plant will produce 150,000 seeds.
What? Are you kidding?
That's amazing.
Wow.
So what do we do about that? Well, this is where we come in with our November pre-emergence herbicide to help some of the winter weeds not have their seeds germinate. But the most important one would be February, when we put out the pre-emergence, like an atrazine, if you will, to keep off some of those 150,000 seeds from germinating and become a problem in your yard.
Wow.
So the whole gist of Larry's note is, it's hard to kill these summer weeds. You don't want to rush it. You want to do it in October. And you don't want to pass up on those two applications of pre-emergence. And we have preached this sermon many times before on the Garden Line. Whatever you do, we do not recommend in November or February using the weed and feed fertilizers, mainly because the feed portion of the weed and feed is the wrong formula for that time of year. So just don't do that. Just use either the liquid, and there's some granular on weed killers too, but don't use the weed and feed combination. It's just not the thing to do.
So just to clarify, then, what's the best timing for these? Now?
Well, no. The timing for those now for fertilizer would be late August into September.
Okay.
Just the fertilizer.
Gotcha.
The weed killer to kill the weeds that are there is when temperatures cool a little bit, say, 1st of October.
Okay.
Then in November, we use the pre-emergence, and then use the pre-emergence again in February, and you've done the best you could do.
That sounds great. I'm writing this all down.
Exactly. But the most important thing about this weed control, and we talked a lot about it last week. I don't want to dwell on it this week, but is a good lawn that has been maintained properly, proper mowing, proper fertilizer, proper disease control, that type of thing. So if you do all of that, that is going to help your grass become healthier, more lush, which will crowd out some of these weeds.
Okay. All right. Okay, great advice. We are talking The Garden Line this morning with Mike Wiggins. And if you've got a question for Mike, text it in at 850-437-1620. Already time for a break, but we'll be back in just a couple minutes on Pep Talk. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Mike Wiggins is here to answer all your questions. Steve from Escambia Bay sent in a text for us, Mike, and it says, let's see here, he's got two issues today, and he's attached pictures that we just took a look at. What are these white bugs? I've treated them with Liquid 7, but they keep coming back on my potted plants and vegetables. They will kill the plant if not contained. Yeah. And then the second question, not sure what this is on my citrus potted and planted trees. Thanks from Steve in Escambia Bay.
Well, just a couple of things from the pictures. Sometimes with those pictures, you know, it's kind of hard to tell. But it looks like, number one, it looks like a white fly infestation, which is an insect that will attack the plant just like...
They look like little white worms almost.
Yeah, exactly.
In the picture,
exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah. They look like little... They should, you know, if you hit the plant, they should kind of flutter away. But whatever, you're using the right chemical. Seven, and I assume... Did he say that he was using liquid?
Yes.
Seven?
He said
that's
liquid,
good. S-E-V-I-N. Liquid seven is good. Seven comes in a liquid, but it also comes in a dust. And it comes in a dust two ways. 5% seven... and 10% seven. 10% seven is pretty strong. But this is one of the, I'm going to say, oldest insecticides around.
Hmm.
Been around for generations. Generally very safe. I mean, it's still a chemical. There's no question. But it is effective. You're going to have to stay with it. He's going to, and I think he knows that. You're going to have to stay with it. Now, on the other picture, and that's a tougher one to analyze on the picture, but it looked like a lot of the browning on the leaves was on the perimeter of the leaf. And we've talked about that many times. If it's browning is on the perimeter of the leaf, that is environmental versus the discoloration being on the internal surface of the leaf. And that could be chemical damage, too much fertilizer, too hot, too cold, you name it. It could be any of those things. So I think generally you'll probably be okay with that. I don't hope the whole plant's not looking like that, but I think you'll be okay if that's just in a portion of your citrus. But going back to that white fly, I really think you're going to have to do your seven, come back and do it again in about a week, and then do it again in another week, and get underneath the leaf. That's critical. Get underneath the leaf. That's the thing to do.
Okay. And are those white flies, are those seasonal? Is it a certain time of year, or are they just year-round?
Oh, no. Generally, it's seasonal. Mm-hmm. White flies are a insect that really, bugs a lot of the growers. That's probably the
nice
wrong,
choice of words.
That's the wrong verb.
No, actually, it's probably the right one.
It's a major problem on poinsettias.
Hmm.
A lot of the growers who grow poinsettias in these huge greenhouses
right.
fight those white flies.
Interesting.
Constantly.
Okay, yeah. Great question. If you've got a question, he is here. Mike Wiggins is our garden expert on The Garden Line, and he's going to be here until 10. So we've got plenty of time to hear your questions, and you can also send in pictures at 850-437-1620.
Very good.
Okay, what you got
okay,
now?
Okay, you ready to go? Here we go. All right. Here we are. We're getting ready for fall.
Uh-oh, someone's calling in. You have to do 850-437-1620. That's Mike's cell phone going off, his personal cell. Don't call him on that
it's from Tallahassee.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Okay, here we go. All right, it's time to prepare your beds for fall.
Oh.
Now, that's, in many cases, is hard labor because you've probably got things planted in there that the heat just... got them.
Yes, I
do. And it's a mess, and you're going to just take it down to bare dirt, and that's good. Time to do that. But what you've got to do is prepare that bed for the future. Now, a couple of things you need to do, especially if you're going to plant annuals or if you're going to plant bulbs like tulips or hyacinths, that type of thing. Here's the formula that I like to use. Take that bed down to bare dirt, get all the weeds out of it. get some Canadian sphagnum peat moss, pour it in there, get it up, oh, maybe 2 to 3 inches. Have that. Some organic material, like a mill organite, which is a good one. Put a little bit of your organic material in there. Put a little bit of lime. Just sprinkle the lime in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're pretty well set. Well, I shouldn't say that. A small amount of fertilizer.
Okay.
A low nitrogen, not much, just to kind of get it in there. And then turn all that over about, 6 inches. Rake it smooth, and you're ready to go. Now, if you're going to plant bulbs, fall bulbs, and we'll talk about those maybe a little later.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to plant fall bulbs, some bone meal is really important. That really helps with the health of the bulbs. So that's what you need to do. And then you're ready to go to put in your pansies or your dianthus or your bulbs or whatever you're going to plant for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to have that bed ready to go so you can, when times come, when the weather has cooled off, you can put all your fall plants in there. And you know what the key is to knowing when to plant in the fall? When is the cold weather coming?
Mm-hmm.
When is a good sign? The Interstate Fair.
Oh, there you go. True.
You know, the Interstate Fair, it always seems to turn cold that week.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
That's
mean
true.
Freezing cold.
Right.
But sweater weather.
Yeah, that's so true. You want to think about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway,
interesting.
You can't always go by that, but it's, you know, once it gets that cool, there's so many things you can plant, and so you can go at it, but now your bed is ready to go.
Okay.
Exactly.
Do you recommend any particular flowering plants for the fall?
Oh, no question. No question. Matter of fact, I bought a little list.
Oh, good.
I bought a little list just for you. You ready?
Yay.
Here, these are some of the annual plants, and this is for our listeners who probably maybe go back to the internet to look up some of these things. This is from the North Florida Annual Planting Guide.
Oh, nice.
Remember? That's mm-hmm. the IFAS,
IFAS,
Institute of Food and Agricultural Services through the University of Florida. It is a great one-page document that has almost all, it's 50-plus plants
wow.
that you can plant. Not in the fall. This is for spring and fall.
Okay. Hold on to that list because we've got to take a quick break. But we'll have that list for you when we come back, so don't go away. The Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins, and we are talking about fall planting now, and Mike's got a list for us.
Well, yes, I do have a list, and I have kind of checked off the ones I kind of like.
Good.
And then I'll go hit you with all 50 of these plants because the plants that are on the North Florida Annual Planting Guide are spring and fall
mm-hmm.
annuals. And of course, we all know what an annual is. You plant it, you enjoy it, and then it dies. It's a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as opposed to a perennial, which comes back year after year after year. So this is a North Florida Planting Guide. So I went through and marked some of the fall plants that, like I say, I kind of like. The list goes from ageratum to zinnia.
Oh, there you
A
go.
To Z,
it's
right?
complete.
Okay,
yeah.
And neither one of those is what we're going to talk about because those are for spring. All right, here we go. Calendula.
Oh, I think you've mentioned that one before.
Yeah, we probably mentioned all these before because these are really basic plants. Some people call a calendula a pot marigold.
Oh, pretty.
Yeah, it is pretty. It's a kind of a yellow blossom. It's really, mm-hmm. really kind of, I don't think it's used that much.
I think I have that, actually.
Oh, you think you grew a calendula?
I've got a potted plant.
Oh, yeah.
That
okay.
was given to me not too long ago, and it's
cool.
the yellow, little yellow.
Yeah, cool. Okay, here we go. This is one of my all-time favorites, is a dianthus.
Mm-hmm.
And the garden centers, many in the fall, are full of these things. They're great. Short-growing plants, kind of reddish, and they... What I have found, I planted a pot one time,
mm-hmm.
kind of a low bowl plant with dianthus.
Hmm.
I planted it in the probably August, September time frame. It lasted throughout the whole winter, throughout the next summer.
No kidding.
And into the next fall. I almost think it's very close cousin to a perennial.
That's nice,
but
though.
It really lasts. It's very hardy. It loves the sun,
mm-hmm.
and it really is good looking.
Hmm.
So that's a dianthus. Okay, this is another one that I just put in here. It may be they don't say on our North Florida Annual Planting Guide which ones are spring or fall. But I like Dusty Miller. Mm-hmm. I always like to talk about it when we come to planting. If you don't have a really cold winter, a mild winter, Dusty Miller will last through it.
What does that look like?
No bloom.
Oh.
It's gray. It's kind of a, okay, kind of dusty.
Dusty. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Is that Dusty Miller? We'll talk about that when we get back.
Right, we'll give you more of the list. If you have a question for the Garden Line, Mike is here till 10, so you've got plenty of time to text it in. 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. You can also find this broadcast on the podcast page, newsradio923.com, and you can go to the podcast and the Garden Line, and you'll hear every episode. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it is time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Welcome back. We've been talking about the fall season and football and things switching up. I can't believe this weekend is already Labor Day weekend.
Amazing.
I don't know where the time goes.
Where did the summer go?
Gosh, I know. But we're going through our list of things you could plant now that will look beautiful this time of year.
Yeah, and what we're talking about is some of the annuals that you can plant for the fall. That will brighten up your yard because a lot of the summer annuals have had their better day.
Right, so now's the time.
A lot of them are gone. Okay. Dusty Miller was one we were talking about, and I like Dusty Miller to put into either a container or even a flower bed as a contrast to some of the blooming plants.
Mm-hmm.
The gray, dusty color really kind of helps highlight those particular colors. So, and it really has its use, even though it really has no bloom. Mm-hmm. It really has its use. So think about that. Okay, how about this one? Ornamental cabbage and kale.
Oh,
okay,
that's interesting.
It is. Okay, it's ornamental. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't eat it. But they mound up, and the colder the weather gets, the more colorful they get.
Really?
Deep purples.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They're just a beautiful plants.
Huh.
They're a true annual. I mean, hot weather, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But they really, in the fall, will brighten up a flower bed with those colors. And especially, as I say, you get a nice freeze,
mm-hmm.
Hey, they're going to be just fine. They're going to have this beautiful color. So you might want to consider that. Okay, now here's probably the most popular fall plant nationwide. Take a guess.
Impatiens?
Nope. Oh, no, that's for spring.
Oh.
Pansies,
of course. Yeah,
of course.
What was I thinking?
Well, what are you?
What was I thinking?
You weren't thinking pansy.
No, apparently not. But go ahead.
I don't blame you. We had 50 plants.
I know. I had one shot at this.
One shot. I know. I couldn't have gotten that answer either.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Anyway, pansy is probably the most popular annual in the nation, really,
mm-hmm.
And it real will put up with cold weather, and of course they come. And many different.
So colorful.
But they've come now. I'm going to be very general about this. Some of them have faces on them. Remember
mm-hmm.
that? When we were kids, they look like faces. But some are solid. They like sun, but the yellow ones will do better in a really sunny situation, in my opinion. And they are really, really pretty. And vibrant yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they come in all different colors. A lot of people, and I'm one, I do this myself, plant pansies of assorted colors.
Yes.
You plant them all together.
Pretty.
And you can buy them like that
uh-huh.
at your garden center. But pansies are very, very popular, very hardy.
So low maintenance?
Low maintenance, absolutely.
Okay.
Not very many varmints get to them. But come hot weather, that's it.
Okay.
Okay. Now, here's one that generally a lot of people put these in the spring annual category, and that is petunia.
Oh.
A petunia. Remember the one we talked about? What was it called? Bubblegum petunia?
Something like that,
yeah. Remember that one? It's a kind of a newer one.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Vista series of petunias. The growers, the hybridizers, they continue to improve all of these plants. It's just amazing what they can do. But petunias, although many classify them as a spring plant,
mm-hmm.
will put up with cold weather. Now, you put a 20-degree night in there.
Right.
You might have some issues. But for the most part, They do well.
Okay.
Do very, very well.
Well, we just heard from our buddy Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping, and he sent it and said, native nurseries will have a native violet that is a beautiful cousin to the pansy.
No kidding.
That's a great idea. I love that color.
What do they call a kind of a miniature pansy? Is that a viola?
I don't have a viola? Oh, I don't
Paul,
know.
Paul, help me with that, Paul.
We need an answer there. What's the mini one called?
Exactly. So, petunia is one you may want to try.
Okay.
And okay, one other thing about petunias, if you have a window box or a pot where you're putting various plants in, you can put a petunia, a cascading petunia, so that kind of cascades over the side of the pot, which really, really makes it pretty. Okay.
Oh, and he says there is now a glow-in-the-dark petunia called Firelight.
No, it glows in the dark.
Interesting.
See, I'm telling you, these growers nowadays are high-tech, and they've got all kinds of interesting new plants.
Yeah.
But I'll have to tell you.
Firelight.
That's a new one on me. What do you call it? Firelight?
Firelight. And then he says the mini pansy is called a viola.
A viola.
Like you said. Yeah, you were right.
Yeah, a viola.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. By the way, Paul and I have talked. I think we've talked about this before. Once we get into probably September, late September, Paul's going to come do the show with us.
Oh, good.
It's going to be the three of us.
That'll be fun.
We'll have so much fun. Paul does some beautiful work around town. Blue Sky Landscaping.
Okay.
They really are good. All right, here we are. We're almost at the end of the list here. Snapdragon.
Oh, I like those.
Snapdragon.
And I never think of those.
I know it.
I don't think to get those.
I'm not sure.
Those.
I'm not sure people plant snapdragons like they did in the say in the 50s or 60s.
Right, that's true.
I really believe that. But it's a good plant. It'll put up with cool weather. And so finally, I think that's it. I did want to mention a couple of things on perennials. If you are doing the flower bed, and you're going to put some of these annuals in there, don't forget if we got two. What I say, just as far as I'm concerned. Two real favorite perennials in Pensacola. One is a daylily, of course. That is a standard perennial. Mm-hmm. And there's a daylily society in Pensacola.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they do beautiful work and educate people about daylilies.
They're so pretty.
Oh, exactly. And as you get into November also, that's the time to separate your daylilies. So if you've got a big clump of them, you can separate it into two, just get a shovel and kind of divide it in half.
Okay.
And some people give that other half as a Christmas present to
nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That's very nice.
Then Gerber Daisy, of course. Gerber Daisy is a great perennial. One thing about Gerber Daisy that you always have to remember, we've talked about this, maybe last year on the Garden Lines. Gerber Daisy has, right at ground level, a crown from which all the foliage and blooms come.
Mm-hmm.
And if the dirt, if you have it in a flower bed and your dirt kind of gets into over that crown, kind of moves over the crown because the rain moved it or whatever, it will inhibit the blooms. So you always kind of got to feel that in there. Be sure the dirt is off the crown of that Gerber Daisy. But they are beautiful. They kind of come in two types. I'm generalizing again. One is a dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
Very short stem on it, but my all-time favorite is the one that has grown for years in Pensacola with the very tall stalk with the blossom on the top.
Oh, yeah, it sounds
really
beautiful.
Really, really pretty. But it'll last you forever.
So this whole list you've just given us, is now the time to start planting those, or do we wait another week or two, or what do you think?
No, I would certainly wait, and I would also wait for one reason. I don't think your garden centers are going to quite have all of this stuff yet.
Oh, okay.
Some will have it early, some won't, so because you really want to get on early, and so that's what I would do. I also like to mention that be sure the growers are good. Bonnie Plant Farm. Remember we've talked about them before?
Yes, you did.
Out of Union Springs, Alabama.
Okay.
Is one of the premier growers in the South.
Huh.
Now, they service the Pensacola market, but they also service the Atlanta market.
Oh, gosh.
So
okay.
They are really good at what they do, not only in annuals, but also in vegetables.
Oh, okay.
Matter of fact, every time you buy, I bet anybody has bought a tomato plant or a pepper plant this spring has bought one grown by Bonnie. They've got a tag on most of them.
Oh, no kidding.
That say from Bonnie Plant Farm. Exactly.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break here and come back and talk a little bit more about your garden and how you can make it beautiful this fall on The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. If you've got a question or a comment, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Meg, and Mike Wiggins is our host, as always, talking about this fall and things that you can do for gardening. And you heard that little promo for the FSU game, and FSU plays Alabama this weekend, and we'll be carrying it live right here on News Radio 92.3.
Oh,
so you can
goodness.
Tune in, and you know Mike's a big
it's
FSU
a big
one. Fan,
it's
so
a big one.
This is a big game for it's the Noles.
Absolutely. We're going to do our best. Beat Alabama, so
yes, sir.
We'll see.
Be positive
about this. I did want to mention we just heard from Catherine a minute ago.
Yes,
who is
a regular listener of the show.
Regular is one
That's
way
even
to put
a,
it.
A, not even a good word.
Long time,
fabulous
listener and good friend.
Yes, there you go.
And anyway, she left me an envelope with all kinds of stuff. You know, one thing that's in the envelope that Catherine leaves is Audubon Magazine.
Oh.
Which has got some of the most gorgeous pictures of birds. I mean,
oh,
all
sure.
over the world, all
yeah.
over the world. And it's just absolutely fabulous. And anyway, Catherine, those packets you leave me are always welcome. I promise you, I read them top to bottom because they are so great. And I hope you're doing well.
Yes, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
All right. We haven't budged with our list.
No,
of
I know.
To
You've
do
got
for it. Fall.
You should see the package of materials
yeah,
he's got over there.
Of stuff here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's a decision you may have to make.
Okay.
Because you may say, oh my goodness, it's August. I'm going to do some sodding in my yard. But I'll just wait till spring to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But it is not too late to sod now if you want to. So you got to make your decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Meg, you got to make the decision for yourself here. You ready? Are you going to sod with Zoysia, St. Augustine, or Centipede?
Ooh, that's a tough choice.
That's a tough choice.
I don't know.
They all have their advantages. But here's this. I have a lot of neighbors mm-hmm. who, over the past couple of years, have resodded their yard with Zoysia. And I'll have to tell you, they all look terrific.
Really?
They look great. Look like a beautiful golf green. They mm-hmm. really do. Zoysia has done well. Zoysia was a grass that has been used forever, back in the 50s. But then most people moved into St. Augustine grass.
Right.
But as we've talked about many times on The Garden Line, the St. Augustine developed all kind of problems. You remember your favorite word? This is your favorite, Meg. The Rhizoctonia brown patch fungus.
Yeah, that one.
Remember that one?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Chinch bugs, sod webworms. Mm-hmm. These are problems with St. Augustine that sometimes can be terminal for, especially with chinch bugs.
Right.
And even the fungus. But Zoysia is not affected by those very much. They'll get a little bit of fungus, but simply the chinch bugs, really, I've never seen much damage in Zoysia grass.
That's so interesting.
So if you're going to pick a grass, I think Zoysia would be a good choice for you. It's a little more expensive. There are various varieties. Our good friends over at Werner Turf,
mm-hmm.
kind of the headquarters for sod, talk to them about what varieties they've got and which ones have been doing better in Pensacola.
Okay, this is a very important question from one of our listeners.
Uh-oh.
And this is funny. How do you spell Zoysia? Right? I know. So I have no idea, but that's a good question.
Zoysia?
Well, that's how they spelled it.
I think that's right.
Okay.
I think that's right.
See, you had it right. Thanks for texting that in.
I was going to say, I went to Florida State, so I don't spell too well. But
Don't say that.
No, I just was joking.
Not this week.
No, not wrong. Wrong week.
Yeah.
No, Zoysia grass.
I could say something about the other team and their spelling, but I'm not going to.
I think that's a wise thing, Meg. It's not.
Keep it to myself.
We probably ought to get away from spelling.
Okay, Paul sent in Zoysia.
Okay,
he knows.
So we're all right. Okay,
he's smart. He went somewhere.
He is smart. Yeah,
smart school.
Yeah, maybe a UWF guy.
Could be. There you go.
Some good folks over there. That's for sure. Their football season is going to start up pretty soon.
It's this Friday. They play Lenora Ryan this Friday at 6:00.
Oh, do they really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wish them well. They have been very successful.
Yes.
Go Argos, no doubt about it. Where were we?
We were talking about Zoysia versus St. Augustine and Centipede. Right.
Now, St. Augustine's good. I have it. I've been very lucky. Let me talk about luck real quick about St. Augustine grass. You remember last week, I think at the opening of our show, I mentioned that lately I've been getting out really early on to mow my lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last month or so, I mow it, and all the little dungy little moths fly up, which can be a harbinger of sod webworms.
Oh.
Okay. But I was so proud. Last week, I did the yard, and none of the moths.
Oh,
so I said, last week, hey, maybe, you know, it's just not going to happen this year. We're not going to have an infestation of sod webworms. So I mowed my yard yesterday. They were everywhere.
No, they were everywhere.
But that doesn't mean the sod webworms are going to be there.
Uh-huh.
If you have sod webworms, you've had the moths. But just because you have the moths doesn't mean you're going to have the sod webworms. What causes all that? What, you know, makes it happen or not happen? Mother Nature there. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But you know one thing, Meg, this is interesting because I know you live there and work there. In Gulf Breeze,
mm-hmm.
always seemed to be the very first phone call that I got about, we've got sod webworms.
Interesting.
Even before I heard from people in Pensacola.
That's interesting.
That is interesting. I always attributed it to the sod. I mean, the turf was a little mm-hmm. warmer over there, mm-hmm. maybe just a little bit in town. But Gulf Breeze always seemed to get them first.
I wonder why.
I don't know why. Maybe I was just
You know, it's interesting. There's some very subtle differences in the weather, too, because it could be raining in Pensacola and not in Gulf Breeze or the beach.
There's no doubt about that.
It's very strange. There's like these little pockets of areas that don't get the rain or do get it. And with all these thunderstorms we had last week, there were certain areas that didn't get any rain.
Is that right?
But it was all around us.
But we had some really rough ones.
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you.
All right. We got to take a quick break here, Mike, but we will be right back. Did you want to finish that thought, sir?
No.
Oh,
we'll do it when we get back.
Okay. We will be right back. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Still time for your questions. 850-437-1620. Welcome back to The Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Mike Wiggins is here to answer all your gardening questions. Got a question from Nancy this morning. How can I kill lichen infecting some of my azaleas?
That's a great question, and it's kind of a difficult question. Lichen, as we all experience on some of our plants, is the gray peely material that will get on the stems,
mm-hmm.
not on the, you know, if you have flowering plants, it won't get on the flowers, but it'll get on the stems. Woody plants.
Right.
Oak trees get lichen
yes,
a
I've
lot.
Yes, I've seen it.
Pecan
it's
trees.
It's kind of crusty, you know. Right?
Exactly. Now, the thing about lichen is it really is caused by, well, I don't mean to be too dramatic, by trauma.
Oh, no.
The plant was too hot, too dry, too cold, too wet. And sometimes it just happens. You know, if we have, like we have this hot weather we've had,
right.
There's nothing you could do about that. But some of the plants will develop that lichen. Now, what do? It probably is not going to damage your plant. What you really just need to do, in my opinion, is to do everything else right. Water, pruning, et cetera, but if you really want to try to kill it, some people have used a copper spray.
Oh.
You can go to your friendly garden center and say, it comes probably in a little 8-ounce bottle, and you could spray it. But even that sometimes won't clear it off. But I wouldn't worry about it. I don't think it's going to kill your plant, but something else is bothering that plant for that lichen to form on there.
Okay, so, this is in agreement with that. Paul just texted in, lichen is not the problem. It is like a barnacle. It only grows in non-growing vegetation. Once the plant becomes healthy again, the lichen will fall off.
Exactly.
Interesting.
He's absolutely right.
Can you scrape it off?
Well, I guess you could, but I wouldn't. I think I wouldn't go to the trouble.
Right.
You know, just work hard on getting those azaleas
mm-hmm.
in great shape, and you'll see the problem, as Paul said, could easily resolve itself.
Interesting.
But it's everywhere. I mean, we all have it.
Right.
And sometimes it's just a little bit on a ligustrum. Sometimes it's a lot on azaleas. So There you go.
All right, sir. All right, well, here's good luck to your football team.
Oh, thank you.
And
yours too, Mick. But you know what? If nothing else, it's fun to talk about,
isn't
it?
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
Something fun. You've been listening to The Garden Line with our fabulous host and expert gardener, Mike Wiggins. He will be again here next week. You can also hear the show again on Saturday mornings right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Meg.